I do hope you enjoyed our study on the Holy Spirit. I'm sad to know the summer's coming to an end, and that probably means our series is coming to an end. But I hope we all have realized how much we have neglected the work of the Spirit in our life. And the series has been helpful for me and hopefully for you to be reminded that we need to connect to the Spirit more often, to be characterized by being led by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, and I hope that's an aim or a desire of your life. But what are the obstacles that keep us from being filled with the Spirit? What would block the work of the Spirit in our life? One of the main reasons that we limit the Spirit is when we grieve Him, when we quench the Spirit. Maybe you didn't even know that we could do that. One of my daughters this week didn't even know that we could grieve or quench the Spirit. Dad, Father, I am Pastor Father. A lot of times we do it and we're not even aware that we do that. I wrote down some characteristics of your life that may reveal a quenching of the Spirit. I'm not saying if these are true of you, you're grieving the Spirit, but you may be grieving the Spirit. You don't feel close to God. You have no affections for Him. God's Word is boring, unsatisfying, or confusing to you. There's no felt or visible spiritual power in your life. If any or all of those are characteristics of you, you may be grieving the Spirit. And when we grieve or quench the Spirit, we limit His help in our life. Here's the main truth we're going to cover today. Since unconfessed sin and pride grieves the Spirit, let us regularly examine our lives so that He is not grieved. Let me ask the Spirit to help us. Spirit, help us. You're the helper. You're the one who opens up spiritual eyes so that we could see truth from Your Word, and that's what my prayer is. Lord, that You would show us in Scripture of where we have offended You, where we have grieved You, where we have disappointed or harmed You. So, Spirit, I pray this often, but I really pray it now. Come and help us. Have Your way among us. Lead us to the depths of conviction of sin, but then draw us up to the heights of forgiveness and love so that we may walk with You. Be merciful to me. Show us Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with this first point of recognize how and when we grieve the Spirit. It's important to understand that how we live our lives determines how He works in our lives. Let me say that again. How you and I, we live our lives, it determines how the Spirit helps us in our lives. When we're submitted to the Spirit, when we're walking with Him, following, led by Him, He provides maximum help in our life. But when we resist Him, when we sin, when we're rebelling against God, He limits His help in our life. Now, there's many categories of sin that we could talk about, but I thought, let's just talk about one specific example. In the passage that we're going to look at in a minute in Ephesians, and you can turn to Ephesians 4 right now, Paul is addressing the word speech that the Ephesians Christians are having with each other. And so, as we talk about the role of the Spirit in our life, I want you to look specifically of your speech, how you say words to others, and what do you say to them, and does it build them up or does it tear them down? Part of Paul's main teaching in Ephesians, especially the last half of Ephesians, is how to live the Christian life. And his main message is that we're new creations in Christ, and we are to put off our old way of living. We are to put on a new way of living. And then he gives the examples of speech. Words. Have any of you ever been hurt by the words of another? Have any of you received encouragement or support from the words of another? It's beautiful, isn't it? It's life-giving. It's exactly what you need. So we're going to look at Ephesians 4 and some of these last verses, 29 through 32. You can just remain seated because we're just going to look at a couple of these verses together. So Ephesians 4, 29 through 30. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Okay? That's the main admonition. But look at the connection in verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, some people may think that Apostle Paul just kind of threw that in there. It's like, oh, I need to tell people about grieving the Spirit. This looks like a good place. But there's a connection here. By the words that we say, whether they hurt or whether they're helpful. When they're hurtful, when they're corrupting, when they tear down another person, we grieve the Spirit. That's the connection that he's making right there. So let's look at verse 29 again. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. How do we grieve the Spirit? We grieve the Spirit with corrupting words. Corrupting words may be words of slander, criticism, obscenity, vulgarity, anything that hurts another person. That's how we grieve the Spirit. And what I think as we examine our speech and what we say, we need to remember Jesus gave us some very sobering words in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. He said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. We will give an account. That doesn't mean we're fearful of judgment. Judgment has been taken away from us. But there's still an account of what we say and how we say it to others around us. So that's how we grieve the Spirit. But how do we encourage the Spirit? When we speak with words that build up, that's what he says. But only such as good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. Evaluate your words that you say to your spouse, to your kids, to your coworker, to your neighbor. Would they say, Phil, when I'm around Phil, what I hear is grace. When I'm around Phil, I'm built up. I'm encouraged. Or when I'm around Phil, I always feel like he's criticizing, judging me, or undercutting me, or tearing me down. We do that, unfortunately, with spouses, don't we? We do it with our brothers and sisters, our siblings. We do it with a boss that just irritates us. When we speak with these types of words, we grieve the Spirit. Let's look at the second section of our passage, verse 30 to 32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. What are we to put on? Kindness to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So how do we grieve the Spirit? Remember, that's what we're talking about here. We grieve the Spirit when we're bitter. When we're bitter towards someone else. Have you ever experienced bitterness towards someone? Or been on the other end of it? You know they're bitter towards you. Bitterness is an attitude that we hope they get hurt. We're happy when they fail. Then he goes on to say, wrath and anger. You explode in anger, hoping to hurt somebody. Clamor, that refers to loud cries, protests, slander, speaking about someone else in ungracious ways. When These are the words that we say to others. When we're angry with somebody, when we're bitter towards someone, when we hold resentment towards someone, we quench the Spirit. We limit the Spirit's influence in our life. But then how do you encourage the Spirit? When is the Spirit able to really help you in your life? Look, it says, be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving one another. What characterizes your life? If you were just to examine your speech over the last week, would it be bitterness, anger, resentment, slander, cutting down, making fun of? Or would it be showing kindness to the person, showing understanding? Understanding is so important in life. Empathy, seeing, putting yourself in the situation of another person. If we just realize that, wouldn't it just radically change the way that we talk to another person or relate to them? I came across this quote, and it's really just an understanding that I thought was so helpful. And I don't even know who said it, but let's look at this quote. It says, everyone you meet is fighting a battle that you know nothing about. Be kind always. That's what he's saying here. As you look at the person, that coworker that just irritates you, or a spouse, or a parent, whatever it may be, wouldn't we be more gracious if we just go, you know, they're fighting their own battle. They're going through things that we don't have an understanding of. That's why this whole thing with Simone Biles was just so fascinating to me, to see the social interaction with her decision to pull out. She's a quitter. We support her. We have no idea of what's going on in her life. And so when we think about being led by the Spirit, it's being kind to one another. It's having understanding. It's assuming the best. David says this all the time, and it irritates me. Because I'll learn of a situation that comes up, and I'll just get mad. He'll go, well, let's just start with assuming the best about that person. Okay, David, I'd rather attack them or correct them. Living, kind-hearted, and understanding. Why are we to do that? How can we even show forgiveness to somebody who wounds us? He says, forgive as God in Christ forgave you. Bam! That's the power of forgiveness, is when we realize how greatly we have been forgiven. That's the motivation. So the Spirit is grieved in the ways that we speak to others. Corrupting words from our mouth grieves the Spirit. Remaining bitter towards someone else grieves the Spirit. Biting somebody's heads off with your angry words grieves the Spirit. Slandering, gossiping grieves the Spirit. Well, another way we grieve the Spirit is when we resist His promptings. Now, the Spirit was given to us as a help. We talked about that. Well, we've talked about it the whole series. That's one of His main roles as a helper. He speaks to us. He guides us. He shows us things. He is given to us to as a voice of influence. But when He speaks to us and we close our ears to what He is saying, we resist Him, and when we resist Him, we grieve Him. Here are some examples of how He influences us. And then we have a choice, whether to follow Him in obedience or whether to resist Him. Do you ever wake up in the morning with a thought to read your Bible? Or hop on the internet instead? The thought of reading your Bible, it comes from the voice of the Spirit. So how will you respond? Do you ever feel compelled to pray? That's the voice of the Spirit. Will you stop what you're doing and pray? Or will you resist Him? Do you ever hear someone telling you to keep your mouth shut in that conversation? That's the voice of the Spirit helping us. I found this humorous photo to kind of describe that. It's the Holy Spirit telling you to shut your mouth when you want to say something. How will you respond? Will you follow him or will you resist him? Acts 15:28, I thought, was a great example of how the leaders in the church of Jerusalem were attentive to the Spirit. They were listening. They were seeking his influence. Acts 15:28, "For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." I love that. That's so instructive for me as a church leader. You know, David and I and the rest of the staff, we're in fall planning mode and we're making plans for every area in the church. And then I think about this, you know, how often in our staff meeting do we say, whoa, wait a minute, this seems like a good plan, but why don't we ask the Holy Spirit if we should do this or not? That's usually not how we respond. But they were like, okay, we want to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. He was given to help us, to give us wisdom, to show us the right way. So let's do what seems right to God's Spirit. Do you regularly do that? When he speaks, when he's telling you to do something, do you respond? A.W. Tozier was a pastor and an author, and he called this principle of hearing from the Spirit and immediately responding to what he's asking you to do. He called that spiritual receptivity. And then Tozier went on to talk about all the kind of the great saints, the men and the women who have made a difference in the world. Think about all the missionaries or all the pastors or all the bankers or all the financial people or teachers who have really made an impact for God in Christ. And they're different personalities, right? Different temperaments, different backgrounds, different countries. But then Tozer goes on to say, but they all, people who have had a great impact for God, they all had one characteristic. They were spiritually responsive to the Spirit, which means as soon as the Spirit told them to do something, they immediately did it. Look at this quote when he talks about it. He said, they differed from the average person in that when they felt the inward longing, that's the Spirit's voice, they did something about it. They acquired the lifelong habit of spiritual response. As King David said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, your face, Lord, I will seek. When I have time, when it's convenient, next week, when that person comes to me first. That's not what it says at all, right? Do you ever hear the voice of the Spirit in your life? Some of you maybe more than others. And if you rarely hear it, I want to encourage you, the more that you do this principle of hearing and responding, the more his voice grows in our life. It's like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. I'm telling you, if you hear something and it's telling you to do something that honors God or helps another person, it's probably the voice of the Spirit. And I want to challenge you, whenever he speaks, immediately follow. Immediately. It will be costly in the moment. It will feel weird. It'll mess up your plans and agenda for the day. But it will help you and the person around you. So will you develop this practice of spiritual receptivity in your life? I want to challenge you that. In fact, I ask God right now, give one case to everybody here afternoon. Speak to each one of us. And then I want to challenge you, when he speaks to you, respond to what he's asking you to do. Will you do that? That's how the Spirit is unleashed in our life. There's so many other ways that we can grieve God's Spirit. When we lust in our hearts, we grieve the Spirit. When we have greed and pride, we grieve the Spirit. When we make no time for prayer, we grieve the Spirit. When we don't serve or help others, we grieve the Spirit. When we're filled with unbelief, we grieve the Spirit. When we fail to thank God for His blessings, we grieve the Spirit. When we trust our own wisdom rather than His, we grieve the Spirit. And I hope we're grieved by that, that we have grieved the Spirit. And I want to give you hope. And so let's look at this next point. Consider the effects of grieving or quenching the Spirit. Here's the assurance that I want to give you. And this actually, the Word of God gives it to us. It's this: the Spirit will never stop loving us, helping us, and is always with us. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, my words may feel strong. You may think, man, if I'm grieving the Spirit, He's going to just leave. Or He may turn around and punish me by bringing bad circumstances in my life. And I want to say, that's not God. That's not how God sees or views or relates to His children. The Spirit will never leave us. We are sealed to the day of redemption. What does sealed mean? It means permanent. It means we belong to God. We will be protected by God until that day of redemption. When Christ returns or we die, we will be set free in that. So when I say grieve the Spirit, I hope it increases your sensitivity in how you're relating to Him, but don't be fearful. Don't feel like the Spirit is just, you know, that's filled, that's number 1,450, and that's my limit. I'm out. The Spirit treated us like that, He would have been out a long time ago in my life. The Spirit will never leave you. The Spirit will never forsake you. In fact, the Spirit always is helping us. But the point about grieving and quenching is that we limit His help. So, be encouraged. The Spirit will never stop loving us. Now, here's the second point. The Spirit withholds His full help when He's grieved or quenched. Did you hear what I'm saying? The Spirit is always helping us, but when we work with Him, when we're following and led by Him, He provides His full help, the full benefits that He gives to us. Think how silly it would be to have a car and only drive it at 10 miles per hour. Think how unhelpful it would be to every day just have a few snacks of grapes. We couldn't survive, right? You can get to where you're going at 10 miles per hour. But wouldn't you want the full help? Wouldn't you want the full assistance of God's Spirit? But when we grieve Him, we limit His work. To grieve, that means to offend, to sadden, to hurt. David, from the very first message that we gave in the Holy Spirit, He taught us, reminded us, the Holy Spirit is a person, right? He's not an impersonal force. Can you offend a force, a feeling? But you can offend a person, and that's the Holy Spirit. He is a person that is offended. And even I love this word grieve, that we grieve Him. Paul could have wrote, you anger the Spirit when you say these words against another, but he said you grieve. We only grieve those we love, right? I'm not grieved when one of my enemy does something, but I'm grieved when one of my children does something or one of my friends does something. So he says, we grieve the Spirit. And when the Spirit is grieved, He withholds His full help in our life. I read a sermon by Charles Spurgeon on this subject this week. Let's look at his words. I will, talking about the Holy Spirit, I will suspend my operations. I will be gone. And when the Spirit of God goes away from the soul, suspends all His operations, what a miserable state we are in. He suspends his instructions. We read the word, but we cannot understand it. We fall on our knees and we ask to be taught, but we get no answer. Once we could do all things, now we can do nothing. There is the intention to do good, but there's no power to accomplish this intention. The Lord has withdrawn himself, his light, his joy, his comfort, his spiritual power. All are gone. We grieve the Spirit. Again, he always loves us. He never leaves us. But we limit his help, his assistance, his power, his light, his joy, his assurance of hope and faith in our life when we grieve him. Now, there's another way that Scripture describes this. It's called quenching the Spirit. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:19. One of the shortest verses in the Bible. For you Scripture memory people, you'll probably memorize this by the end of the message today. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. Now what does quench mean? Quenching referred to the image of a fire. It means to put out a fire. And we see in Scripture how the Holy Spirit is associated with fire, so this analogy makes sense. Imagine yourself sitting in the backyard with your family, fire pit, and it's roaring and the fire's everywhere, and your precocious five-year-old boy comes with a garden hose and pours water on the fire, puts it out. That's that imagery of quenching the Spirit. You and I can quench God's Spirit by what we say, by what we think, by what we do in our life. But I love the opposite. All talks about the opposite. The opposite of quenching the Spirit is to fan into flame the Spirit of God, right? Have you ever been in a fire pit and it's really low and you blow on it? Or you have a little piece of cardboard? For you really manly people, you get out your lawn blower. And the flame blows. It gets stronger. That's fanning into flame. That's what Paul challenged Timothy, right? So Timothy, you've forgotten the laying on of hands. You need to fan into flame the gift of God again in your life. Are you grieving the Spirit? Are you quenching the Spirit in your life? Let me say it a different way. How? How am I? How are you grieving or quenching the Spirit in your life? We all are doing it. We all have done it. And it may be even ways that we are completely unaware of. And that's why daily we must make it to practice. Spirit, I'm sure I've offended you in some way. Will you show it to me? Will you reveal it to me? And here's how we keep from grieving or quenching the Spirit. It's our last point. Return to the Spirit through confession and reliance. Return to the Spirit through confession and reliance. See, maturity is not keeping from sin. We all sin, don't we? We all sin in our unbelief, in our thoughts, in our ungodly affections or intentions. But what maturity looks like for the Christian is when they sin, when it's pointed out to them, they return back to God. That's confession. That's repentance. That's the gospel. Returning back to God. Look at Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. If we look at it another way, whoever conceals his transgressions justifies. Well, yeah, I said that to my wife, but she deserved it. Whoever conceals his transgression grieves the Spirit, but whoever confesses them, whoever returns back and says, she didn't deserve it. I'm the one who deserved it. Will you forgive me? Will you refill me with your Spirit? That's the one that finds mercy. That's the one that the Spirit explodes in our life. Do you want want the Holy Spirit's help in your life? His full light, His full support, the power to do things differently in your life, the power to believe things differently in your life, to have hope. I hope you do, because I do. I long to be led by the Spirit, walking in step with Him, keeping in step with Him. I'm going to invite Alan up right now, and we're just going to have a little come to Jesus time. Come to the Spirit time. Because I really think there's ways that we have grieved the Spirit and not even are aware of it. So I'm just going to give you some reflective moments in your seat right now. And Zane, put this last slide up. It's just a really quick prayer time. Three ways of praying. I want you to just to ask, Spirit, how have I grieved you? And then listen. Right? The Lord gave us two ears, one mouth. Listen. How have I grieved you? And then, forgive me, cleanse me. And then the last one, help me, fill me, lead me. I think David and I have given 27 different ways of saying being filled with the Spirit in our study. This is another way. Show me my sin, cleanse me, forgive me, and then now refill me. Fill me again, lead me in that. So, Alan's going to play, and I just want to pray that you would close your eyes right where you are, and I'll just kind of lead us through this three-step reflection time. So just start right now with saying, Spirit, how have I grieved you? What have I not done that has quenched your power in my life? Listen to His voice. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the way that you continually, patiently show us forgiveness for our many, many sins is overwhelming. Spirit, how I pray that we would be led by you.